Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. In the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on the Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 201 on the Fan, and a very good Tuesday afternoon to you. Benigno and Roberts in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here, of course, till 6 o'clock. Big Mike Francesa will come your way. Chris McMonagle on his way out. Tommy Lugauer on his way in on the other side of the glass at Hudson Street. Ernie Acosta at home in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tires Studio, which is all over the place in the tri-state area right now. Nobody, 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 and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bro, how are you?
Oh, I'm excellent. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to me. Congratulations to all the Giant fans out there. We are all one step closer to making the playoffs because it is now official. Seven playoff teams in each conference. So obviously
that's going to be for this year, for 2020.
For this season. And it's right. Weird because when the players passed the CBA a couple of weeks ago, this was inevitable. But today, I guess about an hour ago, Ian Rappaport was tweeting that the owners had to have a conference call
right.
to officially approve something that all of us knew
right.
they were going to approve. And so right. it's happening. Seven playoff teams now. In each conference.
No 17-game season, though, till 2021, all right?
Yeah, not yet. That probably won't happen this year. No mention right. of that, just the expansion of the playoffs. And it's going to be a triple header on Saturday, a triple header on Sunday, only one bye now. The three wild card teams play the three division winners. And so the truth is we get more football. We get more football. We get a better chance of the teams in this area making the playoffs. I mean, these are the positive things. I still wouldn't have done it if I ran the NFL. I like the idea of making the playoffs and keeping it as special as possible. And as time has gone by in all the major sports, we make it less special. That's just the reality of it because of the financial ramifications that come along with it. And I understand that. I get it. And I get as a fan that, hey, when we get any kind of sport, we're going to be thrilled. But when we get the NFL playoffs and we've got three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday, we're going to eat up every second of it. So I'll enjoy it. But you know, if it was up to me, bro, I wouldn't have done it. But no. I'm not the czar of the NFL.
Well, no, you know, neither of us. I mean, there was no need to fix something that isn't broken. You know, before we get to the rest of it, let's congratulate Monzo and Jade. They had another kid.
Seven. Another one. How
Number
about that?
Seven, Mickey Mantle now. I mean, how about that? There you go.
Well, I texted Monzo this morning
Juliet
congratulating
Fox,
him.
I believe her name is Juliet yes. Fox. Of course, Adam Fox of the Rangers had to be in there. I'm surprised he didn't name her Juliet Zibanejad.
Or I mean, Panarin. I thought Panarin was the
Panarin,
favorite
right,
in the clubhouse.
Even that. I mean, I'm stunned. Right.
And obviously, Monzo and Jade now have to go work on number eight. I mean, if they've got the seven, you may as well go for Yogi Berra number eight.
I'm telling you, I think it's time to retire. But, I mean, you know, can you imagine seven?
No.
Can you imagine the – and they're all young. No. I mean, I think the oldest one might be five or six or maybe seven. I don't know if there's anybody older than that.
I can tell you right now that one is a lot. So, I mean, so think of seven.
Bro, I mean, you got to be kidding. I mean, there'll be a day when it'll be, like, unbelievable, you know, when they're all, like, older and, you know, Monzo's sitting with his feet up somewhere. God knows where that'll be. But
well, but that I guess that's the good thing. They'll
but
all
the insanity
take...
level, I mean, and you talk about an expensive Christmas. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no kidding.
Woo!
But when it's 20, 30 years from now, they're all going to take care of each other. So maybe that makes
That's the good thing. No doubt about it.
Yes, but congratulations to Mons, right. the Monzo family.
And best of luck,
Jade,
Mons. I don't know how many girls you got now, but best of luck when all the girls hit the teenage years. God bless.
Absolutely.
God bless you when that happens.
Absolutely.
But all our best, seriously, to Monzo and Jade.
No question. No question. I mentioned 2 days ago the Monday Night Miracle.
Right.
And last night the Jets were airing it on their Twitter stream.
As you mentioned.
And there's a couple of things watching this game, rewatching this game, because I think a lot of us remember it, even though it went deep into the night on that Monday night. It reminded me, and I know you agree with me on this. I'm not sure if this is the majority opinion, though.
Well, how much I couldn't stand the Dolphins?
No, we know that.
Jason Taylor sideline on the sideline when he had like a 30-point lead.
Yes, I remember. I enjoyed Dennis Miller, I got to tell you, because Dennis did this game.
Dennis Miller was good. Let me tell you something. Dennis Miller was one of the best things Monday Night Football ever did. I got to be honest
with you. I thought so, too.
I didn't think so the first couple times, but as time went on, I realized, man, this is what you want to hear.
Well,
you know?
What he did, and you saw it in this game if you watched the whole game last night or a couple of days before on YouTube, is he was the fan in the booth. He was
the fan
in the booth, because one of the things he did is when they were reviewing one of the plays in the game, the first thing he says is, all right, I'm going to go work on my masters while replay takes place.
Right.
It's comments like that that I think we all think of as fans while we're watching an NFL game even 20 years ago. Because replay, as much as things have changed in the NFL, there's a lot of things that are exactly the same. We saw bad officiating. We saw endless reviews. We saw a lot of that kind of stuff in this game.
So a Jumbo Elliott catch a touchdown pass, too.
Oh, my God. And they had to review that.
Yeah,
They reviewed the Jumbo Elliott touchdown.
That it didn't hit the ground, I guess.
Well, the worst of the worst to me was Curtis Martin caught a ball at about the one-yard line. And at first they say it's a completed pass. And then the umpire runs over, falls down, and overrules the field judge that it was an incomplete pass. Mm.
Did they show the replay?
They did, and it looked like Curtis caught it, but it was very, very closer than Al Groh, the great Al Groh.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for your service, Al.
Yes.
To the Jets, by the way.
He throws a challenge flag because, you know, it looked like Curtis caught the football. And because of the fact that it was overturned on the field into an incomplete pass, there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it. And it actually turned into a big play in the game because it then was a third down. They had to settle for a field goal. At that point, they were down by a touchdown. It actually cut the game from 10-7.
Obviously, they won the game anyway. Right.
But that was one of the examples of you have the umpire running over. He slips, by the way, falls on his derriere to make the signal of it's an incomplete pass. And even though we've got review, we still have the function of review that, hey, if it's not enough evidence, we're going to keep what's on the field. Well, the guy overturned what was initially on the field.
Right.
But you have to endure a lot of bad football to watch this game, bro. Because, I mean, Vinny was awful in the first three quarters.
You know, it's funny because that game, I was doing a Monday night football show at, I forget the restaurant in Manhattan. I did it with a number of different people. I did it with Amani Toomer, and I did it with Tiki. I think I happened to be doing this with Tiki. Because I was still doing the overnights. I mean, this is 2000.
Right.
And, you know, I had to see the whole game. So I stayed at the restaurant. I'll never forget. Steve Summers did me a great, great service. I called over there, and Steve was gracious enough to hang in there until the game was over so I could watch the whole game before going back into Astoria to do the show.
Wow.
You know, and I remember that, and that's exactly what I did. So, I mean, that was that was very nice. I forget that game didn't end till what time? Like 1:30 in the morning?
It had to end because they had made reference on the broadcast that this is the longest
Al
Monday
Michaels
night football game.
Al Michaels was doing the game. It was Al Michaels at the time, too.
Al was doing the game, yep. And he makes the reference, this is the longest Monday night game we've ever had. And remember, it was a 9 o'clock kickoff back then.
So
it was well over 4 hours. They showed the clock at one point. I think it said 1:10, 1:15 a.m., and the game wasn't even over yet. So it probably ended right around 1:30.
Yeah, something like that.
Was there ever a point where, especially down 30-7, where, I mean, the building is emptying out. People are saying, all right, this game's over. It's late in the third quarter. I think Lamar Smith ran for another touchdown. Lamar Smith was great, at least. Every Dolphin was great for the first three quarters. And then after that, things changed.
Right.
But you weren't thinking about leaving at that point, down 30-7, thinking, I'll just go to Astoria now, this game's over?
I guess not, because I didn't. You know what I mean?
So you had faith, is what you say?
And who was the quarterback? Fiedler?
Jay Fiedler.
Yeah, for Miami, yeah.
Well, there are a lot of things that, obviously, looking back on it, you know the Jets won the game. And
yes.
I mentioned this to
you
the other day.
Of course, they blew it a season as in their typical Jet fashion. And they started out 9-4 and then lost their last three games, including the another one of those Christmas Eve disasters in Baltimore.
Well, that's why I mentioned this yesterday briefly, why this game, I understand its specialness in Jet history, and I did actually enjoy going back and watching it.
And in Monday Night Football history, too. It's a classic Monday night game.
No question, the Jet-Dolphin rivalry, all of that.
Yeah.
But there is a little bit of bitterness towards it because it's in a 2000 season that most Jet fans obviously don't remember fondly.
No.
I mean, you remember it for the fact that at that time, when they beat the Dolphins, they're in sole possession of first place. They're a 6-1 football team.
Right.
And you think, at minimum, they're a playoff team. At minimum, figure...
No question about it.
No doubt. And so for the season to end the way it did with the three straight losses, they even lost three straight right after this win against Miami. As great as the win was, they backed it up by a brutal loss to Buffalo a week later. It's not as if it's this great win in some classic season.
No.
It's a great win in a season that overall ended in typical Jet disappointment. That's why in the past, when I've thought about this game, I think about it like, oh yeah, it was cool. But there's a lot of bitterness towards it because of the way the season went. It's not a great year.
If I remember the last three games, they lost that brutal game to the Lions, where the Lions scored. I think the only touchdown the Lions score in this game is on a fumble. The ball's fumbled into the end zone and recovered for a touchdown. I think it was 10-7. I want to say 10-7.
10-7. And they had a 7-0 lead in this game.
Right.
They led most of the game by a touchdown.
Right. Brutal loss to the Lions. Lousy Lion team at home. 10-7. Then they get hammered. I think it was a Sunday night in Oakland, and the Raiders killed them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they got crushed. And that,
right? What was the score of that game?
31-7.
31-7, and then the disaster in Baltimore when they got the 14-0 lead and, wind up losing that game. And there's a whole story that I have with that game, which is very memorable. I know my wife will remember. I mean, the night ends with me, just throwing up all over the place.
Oh, wow.
This is Christmas Eve, too.
Yeah, I know.
Throwing up all. I still had my Vinny Testaverde jersey. I still had it on.
Right.
But because I just to give you a quick story about that game, which, why not? So I'm watching the game at home. They're up 14-0. And then they actually started the game in the no huddle against the Ravens. They're up 14-0. They're scoring points. Then Groh decides, because he was already on his way to Virginia, what did he care? Groh decides to, okay, no more no huddle. And you know how they lost that game to Baltimore, the interception return right before halftime by McAllister for about 98 yards. I think Jermaine Lewis returned two punts in that game for touchdowns.
Yep.
Just a horrible loss. And even when they lost the game, they still had a shot. But I think they needed the Colts to lose to Minnesota. I think that's what it was. And I knew there was no way the Colts were losing to Minnesota. No way. I think that's what it was. I knew there was no way. Right?
And Indianapolis ended up blowing them out.
It was never right. Okay.
It was never a question.
Okay, so it's Christmas Eve, so the game's over. So now I go over to my sister's house. Okay, I'm going to see family. Obviously, I'm not in the greatest mood here. I go over to my sister's house. And my brother-in-law, he says, I got this scotch, maybe you want to have a couple drinks, So I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, what the hell? So now I'm not really a scotch drinker, but I had like two or three, bro, because I'm like, I'm not very happy as it is. So I'm a little bombed. So I get in the car, probably shouldn't have been driving, but, I did. I drive over to my grandmother's, which wasn't too far from my sister's house, go over there, it's Christmas Eve, I want to see them. I still got my Testaverde jersey on, by the way. So I go there, and now it's hitting me, and I'm like, wow, I'm in trouble now. And there was no way I could drive home. I could not. Now we're at the point where I cannot get behind the wheel of a car. So I got to go back home. So I'm like, one of my cousins drives me home, and I walk in, and Terry sees that I am absolutely wasted, I'm aggravated, I'm bombed, I'm wasted, and I proceed. She'll tell you the story. I proceed to start cursing. I am so ticked off. I'm cursing out Parcells. I'm serious, bro. What he did, he traded. I'm going all this stuff. He traded Keyshawn, Al Groh, this guy. Well, we blow it again. Typical. I was killing everybody. I think I was even ripping people that work for the radio station. I was so ticked off.
Right.
So now I'm starting to get sick. All right. So now I go, I'll never forget my poor wife. I go upstairs, still got the Vinny jersey on, by the way, which I still have, by the way, obviously. So I still got the Vinny jersey on. Now I'm upstairs. Now I'm like, Terry, I got to go lie down and proceed to puke all over the place when I tell you. And I think that's the last time I ever got sick from drinking was that.
Wow, it's a lesson in life, man. Again.
20 years ago, you know, it'll be 20 years on Christmas Eve that it happened. And it was you ask my wife, you see, the next time you see Terry, you ask her about that night because that is a classic.
Oh,
and
man.
I was so, bro, I could not tell you. I'm bombed and I'm mad. You know what I mean?
It's a bad combo, man.
It was not a good situation.
But it's probably whenever you have something like that, and I think we all have, where you get bombed
right,
and then you
right,
get really, really
right,
sick.
Right.
It's
right.
a lesson to never do it again. And sometimes it works. Sometimes
never
you
again,
realize.
Bro. I can tell you right now, never again in my life did I get like that.
Right.
That's 20 years ago now, and after that, I said, "That's it." You know, I cannot. I'm never, I'm not even a drinker, and that was part of the problem.
Well, I didn't, exactly. I was going to say that's probably
plus
what adds
I hadn't
to it.
Eaten anything.
Right.
You know, that's the worst
you
doing
have put
that.
Put everything together to create the worst situation.
Right. It could not have been worse.
Ticked off about a loss.
Right. Right.
Drinking, not used to drinking,
yep.
not
yep.
eating. You throw that all together?
You're in trouble.
The
only smart move the whole night I made was I realized I could not drive home, and
right.
I had my cousin drive me home.
That's a smart move at the
end.
That was
the only intelligent move I made the entire day.
And with you the entire night was that Vinny Testaverde jersey.
Never took it off. I think I even slept with it on me.
Somehow, well, at that point.
Let me tell you something. Even though I puked all over the place, somehow I didn't puke on the jersey.
That's amazing. It's a jet miracle. It's a Monday night miracle.
Oh, my God.
Or a Christmas Eve miracle.
Oh, it's an all-timer, man. But well, we've got some rough moments as Jet fans on Christmas Eve. I'll
no, I know. Oh, yes.
Oh,
we know.
My God.
And that one is not the top one.
No,
as
that
we
is
also
not.
Know.
Right. Stunningly enough, it is not the top one. You're
no,
right about that.
No. Vinny, in this game, man, in the first
how
two
many
and a half.
Did he throw?
He ended up throwing, I think four interceptions in this game.
You also probably threw four touchdown passes too, right?
Yes. Well, what ended up happening was early in this game, he was so awful, and even Dennis Miller was saying it on the broadcast, get him out. You know, go to Ray
right.
Lucas. Just get him
right.
out. He's just having an awful, awful day. And as the game went on, he actually started to play a ton better. Actually made a couple of plays with his legs, which was shocking enough. But the real
right,
big
right.
play in this game that turned everything, even though in the moment, I don't know if anybody could have seen it coming, was when Lavernius Coles basically takes away an interception by Sam Madison, just grabs it from his arms and takes it in for a touchdown, which cut it to 30-13. But then for whatever reason, Al Groh decides to go for two at 30-13 instead of just, you know, not chasing points. It's early in the fourth quarter at this point.
Well, you're way
scored.
Behind it. I mean, really, it's not a bad move when you think about it.
I think it was a terrible. Why? You've got to
get
those
points.
No, it failed. It was a catch
that came
up short.
So now it's okay.
Well, but why do you think it's a good move?
Well, I guess just because of the fact that you figure you're way out of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think at that point, I'm still doing the math in my head trying to figure out, hey, how
well,
can I
come
true.
Back?
Well,
it's true. I mean, if you kick the extra point, it's the two-possession game at 30-14.
Right. Now, look,
that
it ends up not mattering.
And then the Dolphins scored again in that game, right?
Well, what happened was after the Jets have all this momentum, and they come back. Wink Krabet makes big plays.
Right,
that
right,
Curtis
right.
Martin play that I mentioned, in which he clearly catches it at the one. They rule it down. They kick a field goal. Krabet ends up scoring a touchdown a couple of plays later to tie the game up at 30. The very next play, when Miami gets the football back, Jay Fiedler throws a bomb to Leslie Shepard, and the Dolphins go back up by 7 with 3.5 minutes to go.
Right. Right. That's right.
So
right,
after
right,
the Jets
right.
build
it,
up,
yep.
All
yep.
this moment, I mean, they have just completely taken the momentum of this game. The crowd is going nuts, those that are still there. And magically, it looked like people came back into the building. So people left thinking this
right,
game's
right.
over. By 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, the place is filled again.
Yeah,
so,
they're hearing, hey, we better come back in here now.
Right, and I think security was lax. But the Jets got the ball back down by 7 after the Shepard touchdown, and that's when Jumbo Elliott
right.
caught the game-tying touchdown
with
30 seconds to go.
And then how far into the overtime did Hall kick the game winner?
Oh, well, here's the other. So before that happened, the Dolphins get the football to start the second to start overtime, and obviously the
this
rules,
is sudden death back then.
Right, sudden death. So for anybody listening, it's not like the Jets get the ball back.
No.
On third down, Fiedler throws an interception to Marcus Coleman. Great. As he's returning the interception, he fumbles the football. And Gadsden picks it up and recovers it for Miami, and they get a brand new possession.
Wow.
So Coleman ruins basically the Jets getting the football back, probably at midfield. Miami gets another crack at it at their own 35-yard line. Three plays later, Marcus Coleman gets another interception, except this time he actually goes down. Four plays later, it was a big third down conversion of Wayne Krabet. John Hall kicks the 40-yard field goal. Ball game over. The Jets win 40-37. But how about that overtime where you got Coleman intercepting?
Yeah, I don't remember that. Well, I don't know why I don't remember that.
You know why you don't remember it, Joe? Because it was 1:20 in the morning, and your brain was probably fried at that point.
Yeah, I'm sure I was fried.
The thing about this game.
I had to go to work, though. I mean, you know.
Right, you had to do a show right after.
Which I'm sure I was giddy doing it. If I'm not mistaken, when I got there, Summers is basically interviewing me about this and how, you know, I'm delirious I am that they won this, how they won this game, you know?
I'm sure.
You know, before I actually go on the air. So, I remember, but I don't remember that, the two picks by Coleman in overtime.
Oh, yeah. You know, watching this game, and I've rewatched a lot of games over the last couple of weeks. Some I remember watching, some before my time. This was one of those games where I forgot so much that happened. And I think a part of it was a Monday night. It was in the middle of the Subway World Series. This is the off day.
That is true, too. Right. That's right. Right. That's right, too. I forgot about it. Right.
So you're talking about the off day of the Mets-Yankees World Series. The game starts at 9 o'clock at night. The game is not over until 1:30 in the morning. It's effectively, as you laid out beautifully, a very frustrating season. So history looks back on this as great win, horrible season. And so rewatching it, which actually was enjoyable, you start to realize, oh, my God, I forgot that. Oh, I forgot that. Oh, wow, that happened? Oh, wow, that's crazy. There were a lot of things rewatching this game that I forgot about, and I think the Coleman dual interceptions in overtime is certainly one of them. But it was an incredible win. It was a wild, wild football game. It just stinks that it had to happen in a season that, you know, kind of goes into the the garbage pail of history as a Jet fan.
Another one of those disasters. Al Groh walks out on the Jets. After 1 year, goes to the University of Virginia, and that was the beginning of the Herman Edwards era after that.
Yeah, which was a pretty good era.
Well, they made the playoffs the next 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years in a row. So.
3 out of 4 years, too,
if you want to extend it.
So,
correct.
Look, it wasn't the beginning of the end of the – it wasn't – put it this way. The Christmas Eve loss to the Ravens did not lead to the same things that the Christmas loss to the Giants.
Isn't it funny,
though?
But think about this. Both of those Christmas Eve losses, they lose to the team that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
Think about it.
I mean, that is true. It doesn't make me feel any better.
No, but I know. But I mean, I'm just saying. You know, they lose these Christmas Eve. So the next time the Jets lose on Christmas Eve, just figure that team's probably winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, bet money
on
that.
You
know,
you and I, we got to do is we got to go right to Vegas and get the money in.
It's a very good idea.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.